Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.co.uk/comedyadfree. That's amazon.co.uk/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In this week's episode of Pop Off, we're playing Agony Aunt and answering some of you guys' dilemmas.
We're giving you some spiritual guidance on long-distance relationships.
Why shorter men are often way fitter than taller men.
And how to get down on Hinge, our step-by-step tutorial.
We got you.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
And welcome back to another episode of Pop Off. Today, it's a very special episode because we're getting into some dilemmas, some questions, some queries, some thoughts, some things that you want advice on, some things that you're uncertain about on the world, some things that you want some mental clarification on from some experts.
Some guidance.
Some spiritual guidance. Although don't take anything that we say too seriously because we are not trained.
Yes.
I always hear those disclaimers at the start of people being like, we are not mental, We are not physical. What is the word? We're not doctors. Yeah. Please do not take anything that we say too seriously.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the receipts do that now because like people just used to be like, but you can't give that advice because now they're just like, it's literally just my opinion.
But I'm like, if you're messaging into someone, then you know the advice that you're going to like.
Exactly. That's why you're messaging.
You're
to
not
them.
Messaging like the receipts podcast thinking that they're all doctors. Like you're messaging them because you listen to the, do you know what a dumb fucking thing for people to complain about?
I know.
But people will find anything to complain about.
These days.
These days. You just love a complaint. All right, let's get into the first question.
Right. First question is, fuck me, we're starting off strong today. Is it normal to constantly get the ick on your boyfriend, how he looks and his mannerisms?
It's not normal.
No, it's definitely not normal. If you're in love, that means you're not in love anymore. Mm. And that is what I think the person had asked.
So you think it might be a case of falling out of love?
Absolutely.
My thing is, I think, so obviously, when you say, is it normal to get the ick on how he looks? I don't think that that's a deal breaker. Personally, for me, I don't think like you're going to have physical attraction for your lifetime partner for every single step of the way. I think that there becomes a point in a relationship where, you know, the sexual tension dies down a bit. The physical attractiveness dies down a bit. Like you're not going to have that same sort of initial oomph, like 40 years of.
But can I just quickly, let's define the ick.
Yeah.
So for me, the ick is literally you see something and there's no going back. This isn't like a loss. Yeah. This isn't like a loss of like, you know, like, for example, there's things that like your partner does. For example, I don't really like how my partner eats. Fine. If someone else ate like that, it would probably give me the ick instantly. But because I'm actually in love with him, I literally don't really
give a fuck.
Yeah, you can just look past it. But if I got the ick from that, there would be no, I wouldn't be able to look past it. I would probably, just because of the way he eats, I would probably just not like him.
Yeah, but I think this person is using ick quite away, because I think if you were in a relationship and you're being like, I have the ick with how he looks and the way he acts and his mannerisms, you wouldn't be in a relationship.
No, I know, but I think they're asking whether or not they should still continue this relationship.
If you have this many complaints, then no, you shouldn't.
Yeah, but I think they're using the ick quite strongly, like saying.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they're like, because when I, listen, I'm ick queen. Like, honestly, there's been so many instances for me and it's not, I've dealt with it in maybe a questionable way sometimes. But anyways, we won't get into that. But, you know, like you just can't like look past certain things and like you just kind of fall out of like fancying the person, loving. And it also depends on how quickly you get into relationships. For me, for my last boyfriend, I was never in a relationship. It would just be when we were dating. Yeah. I would get the ick and then it was easy to like, you know, get it over and done with. But I feel like if you're already in a relationship, either it's happened real quick or you've just like completely fallen out of love with the person, which is, I mean, it's not fine because it's you're gonna have to end it. But it's okay. Like, that's human nature. Like, if you don't love someone anymore, that's
Especially, I'm imagining you are like in your 20s, maybe late teens. Like, realistically, it's fine.
Yeah, it's not.
If you were like, I'm married to this person, we have two kids, and I've just started to find, I would be like, maybe fight for it a little more. Maybe have like a discussion about where you could sort of like liaison a sort of like, maybe like, oh, it's okay to like open up a marriage or something like that. If you're like in your 20s and like, if you're already finding all these things so annoying, you're not going to be able to live for another 30 40 years with this, so get out while you can, because the longer you wait, the worse it's gonna be on you and be on them
and
when the breakup happens.
But listen, at the end of the day, no matter what you guys have gone through, no matter how much has happened within the relationship, like, life will go on. Like, at the end of the day, I know it, like, sometimes feels like, I always felt like when I got the ick of people, it was like, fuck, like, you know, there's so much, like, your life is just gonna change and adjust, and your life changes and adjusts every single day and you don't really notice. So when you get this, like, when you stop it, obviously it feels like a big decision, but it's gonna be such a relief. Because you're not gonna have to think about that. And it's not a nice feeling actually having the ick of someone.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do not think it's normal, and I do think you should cut it off for your own self as well.
Next question, how to hack long distance. Do you have any advice on a long distance relationship?
Have you been in long distance before?
No.
Not even when you lived in like Scotland?
No. I lived in Scotland when I was a child.
Oh, sorry.
So over to you, the queen of long distance, literally across the globe.
I know, I literally like...
Different time zones.
Yeah.
Not even just like in Manchester and it's a train.
No, we're talking about different days.
Yeah.
Like, today is, and they're literally, what day is it today? They're on Thursday right now. Because it's 2 a.m. there. All I can say about a long distance and the easiest way to overcome it is knowing that you're going to see them fairly soon. That is the only like hope that you have, because I feel like within long distance, it's all about hope, and it's all about like knowing that, okay, cool, you have to push through a certain amount of days and you're going to end up seeing that person in 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. Mine was literally 3 months. I literally booked a flight. I met him in September. I booked a flight out there for December. And you just have to push through. You have to like make sure, and obviously if it starts to die out or the communication starts to die out, then I think that the relationship is dying out at the same time as well.
I don't think, and I mean, it's probably easier for me to say from someone who's not been in a long distance relationship, but I don't think like it could, like a long distance is a good test because it's like you don't need to force to stay in a relationship. Like, long distance is going to be hard, but it shouldn't be impossible.
No, not at all. And me and my boyfriend are very different people. I was a very, like, going out type of person. And especially, like, my life has changed so much from, like, him now living with me. And before, like, I was literally, like, we were long distance, but I was actually on my own, you know. I hadn't seen him for 3 months, and he would go to work and then come back, and like the hours were all fucked up and he started work really early, but we always found time to talk to each other, even though we had such different lifestyles and such different schedules. It just works and it just aligns. But yeah, as we said, like, it is like literally the biggest test of like your relationship and whether or not you're gonna work out. Also, this is coming from someone that I don't like, as much as like I am in love, but at the time I was in love with my boyfriend and stuff. Like, I don't rely on that, if that makes sense, for my source of, like, I am like, I can get on with my life and like, that will be fine. Of course, I was missing him, like when we went on the phone and stuff like that. But every single day we were on the phone, we had something new to talk about. It was just a new adjustment within my life. And that's how I managed to like, deal with it, really.
Also, before we go on to any tips, I also want to say, long distance, you don't have to do long distance. And I know this may be not the politically correct thing to say, but me personally, I mean, I realistically probably would give it a shot, but my love language, not even that my love language is touch, but like, for me, a really key component in a relationship is physically seeing each other and being in each other's presence.
Yeah,
I personally don't know if I could do long distance. Yeah. And I don't think that if it's not necessarily working and you've given it a shot, that it's just like something to get on with, especially if there's no like end date. There's no like end resolution. It's not like it's just 6 months of this and then they're back. If they've like moved to Manchester because for a job and you've stayed in London, maybe it's, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get that.
But,
but as I said, like, I do think it is just an adjustment and like how you have to be, like, if you want to, like, as saying, if you really, really want to, like, you will. Because, like we literally had, like, such a short time together where we were, like on each other, and then, like, to have, like, nothing, you miss, like, the smell. Like, it was actually, it's really sad as well because, like, when you come off the phone, it's, like, they're just doing their life and I'm just doing my life, and, like, then we just, like, there's just, but you just get, I guess you just get used to it. Having a good, like, knowing when to call each other, having a good schedule, like, obviously, that.
She asked for really tips. Good. I feel like the main tip would obviously be, like, getting down the communication.
Getting down the communication.
Because even, like, if the the only way of contacting this person is through social media or text or phone or whatever that is, like, that is the only way to get hold of this person. So if that stream of communication's not clear, then that's when the trust issues are going to start to happen. And, like, that would be my again, I've never been long distance.
But makes so much sense.
That would be the top priority for me if I was going into long distance relationship, was getting down, like, and the, that would be, like, the only way I'd be able to survive it.
And it also should be, like, free. Like, we never were like, oh, like, why have you not answered my phone? Do you know what I mean? Like, it should just be natural.
Yeah, you should want to.
Yeah,
you should really want to, especially when you can't see the person.
Exactly. Communication is definitely, and then obviously having, like, a date of when you're gonna eventually see each other, because I honestly don't know how I would have, like, continued to go on, or if there would have really been a point if, like, we hadn't planned a day. And this is, like, coming from someone that lived in New Zealand. And
even if it's I feel like that's also a really good way to get through it, like, having a constant date. So, like, when you're like, sort of time together is coming to an end and you're about to go back, even if it's a pencil in another date, and then it's like you're looking forward to it, your conversations can revolve around, like, what you're going to do when you see each other. Is there a place that they, from their new place, like, that you want to go and see, like, all that kind of stuff. It's those sort of things. But yeah, good luck, sis.
Good luck. The next one is how to get over a toxic ex and love to be single. Babe, time.
It's so annoying when everyone's just time, but it is real.
Like, nothing, like, there's, I always say to my friends, like, there's literally, like, nothing you can do. You need to, like, let go of trying to have control over your feelings as well.
Yeah.
Because the more you try and have control of your feelings, the more, like, you feel like you're out of control, because you can't control your feelings, you know?
Yeah.
There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that can solve the way that you feel. Indulge in, like, things that you love doing. Indulge in being around your friends, like, loving your friends and things that, like, you wanted to do as well. Like, think of all the times that maybe, like, you were with your ex and you're like, fuck, I just want to get out of this and, like, do that. Go and do that, because you're not with him anymore, you know?
Also, you specified toxic ex. So I would make sure that all forms of communication is cut.
Yeah.
I don't care if, like, you're like, oh, it's so cringe to block him because, like, he'll think that, like, I care too much. Who fucking cares? Because he's out your life. Yeah. It doesn't actually matter what he thinks of you anymore.
Yeah.
So he's blocked on everything. Numbers deleted, like, so you can't even phone. He's blocked on your actual phone log, so he can't call you. Because that's how toxic people get back into their lives.
Exactly. And I think the main thing is also, like, making sure that you're not living for that person anymore. So as Lewis just said about, like, the blocking, like, who gives a fuck? If you want to block someone and you know that's the right reason to get out of the relationship, then that's the actions that you've got to take. Don't think about whether or not he's going to think this, because you're not living for him anymore. Not that you should have been in the first place, but your world isn't centered around him or whatnot.
Like,
you know?
He's not even a factor anymore. It's not like a broken up, but, like, there's a chance to get back together. You're like, I want to get over this toxic ex. You need to, like, be in a mental space where it's like, I don't care what he thinks. Like, I'm just blocking blip out.
Yeah. And make sure, like, you speak to your friends as well, not in a draining way, because as a friend it can feel like, no, it's true though, because, like, you have have, like, boundaries with your friends, because I've had friends that have, like, literally drained every fucking drop of blood out of my brain.
And also, as good as it is to vent and rant and, like, have someone to, like, an open ear, they're not going to be the ones who are going to be able to get over the ex.
Exactly.
It's literally, like, you also have to do personal work and self-growth.
It is work. Yeah. And that's the whole point of being an adult as well, is because, like, you literally have to take the steps to like, it's like any type of work. Like, in order to get money, you have to go to work. In order to get over something, you have to work on it. Like, and that's life. As much as like, it might feel like you need to work, you need to respect yourself as well and your mental, because in order for you to continue and even go to work and do all of these things and like, end of the day, have happiness is like for you to work on it. It's not just going to come out of nowhere, especially if you've had someone toxic in your life.
And I actually gave advice to my friend who just came out of a 4-year relationship the other day, and she was really anti it, but then she actually took it and she was like, it was actually so good. So maybe this was actually kind of fucking good advice. I said, and I know she was really, really cautious about like dating again. She's like, I'm so not ready. I'm so not wanting to be in a relationship. I'm so blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, oh my God, almost said her name. She would not have been happy. I was just like dating isn't like I'm finding a boyfriend or a husband. Like, you can go on casual dates. And I specifically said, which she ended up doing and it worked really well. She went on a double date with one of her other single friends and got one of us. She basically told her other single friend, who's like a serial dater, to get someone who she is like speaking to and tell him to bring a friend.
Okay.
And it was like a piss takey thing. And it was like meeting new people in like a fun way that is so not serious. Mm-hmm. So like, as much as I don't recommend like getting under someone else to get over him, like that's never like, I mean, it works for some people, but it doesn't work for everyone. You don't have to go to that extreme to be able to like have fun with and remind yourself like of that kind of thing.
They also pointed out loving to be single as well. Do you have any like actual tips on like being single, like being single, like loving being single? Because I used to love being single. This is the thing as well. Once you love being single, like, and you're in a relationship, it's like, you really love being in a relationship. Because like, being single is fucking great. It's getting used to it, as I said. Because honestly, being single is just, you're so free. Like, why am I like reminiscing? I'm not. But like it's, you have your own freedom. You can do what you want. You can, as I said, like take yourself out. Take yourself to things that you didn't want to do before. Not didn't want to do before, sorry. Couldn't do before as much. And yeah, like honestly, the world is your fucking oyster. Mm. Like you can actually do what the fuck you want. And it doesn't mean that you have to go on dates or like do anything like insane. If you want to like, just not have to.
My personal, and this isn't what is would work for everyone. So I'm not saying specifically do this, but maybe for some inspiration. And if the funds allow and the time like off work and whatever allows, my personal thing, if I had just come out of a relationship and I was finding it really hard and I was wanting to enjoy being single and wanting to enjoy myself again and try and get over someone, is I would go to a different country. Maybe like, I would probably personally like New York because I just love the vibe of New York, but like Barcelona, Paris, even like somewhere
Lisbon.
Like that. Lisbon, as we know that is successful.
But this isn't just to get a man, by the way.
Yeah, but go on your own. Obviously, please be careful. Make sure you know everything that you're like, da 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 da. But go on your own. Go out to like bars on your own. Maybe like set up a dating app profile in that city before and line up one or two dates. Because you go, it's so out of... When you try and do that in London, you bump into people you know.
Yeah.
You see people you know. You go to places which you went to with your ex. So you, oh, we can't go. I don't want to date someone from that area because he might know my ex. You can literally go for a weekend and then date and do all that thing and leave it in that weekend.
And
then it's such a fun, and then you never have to speak to any of those people again, go to any of those places again.
And also, if you, even if you're not that much of an out there person like that, another version of it could just be doing like real chill things as well. You know, you don't have to, if you don't want to center it around like trying to like move on to other dates and stuff like that, or if you don't drink or whatever, then because me and Lewis are like, that's what I would do anyway. But yeah, if you wanted to do like more, you could just like what Lewis said, but just shape it into however you,
you
want to do it.
Yeah.
I would recommend, like, what cities would you recommend that are maybe, like, more local?
More local. Paris.
Edinburgh's really nice if you want to do real local.
Yeah.
Edinburgh's nice. It's chill, like, or even, like, a fucking weekend away, like, in, like, anywhere you can kind of get a train to is really nice.
Yeah. Barcelona.
And also, I love doing, this is really random, but I love doing like spider diagrams. I done one for my boyfriend, this is really random, but for my boyfriend the other day, a spider diagram of basically like what he's like, jobs he's done. But I think you should do it of things that you like, because honestly, once you start with a spider diagram, like you don't stop, like just do little things of like, do things I like, and then like do little spider legs coming out of it, write them down, and then your mind will be on a roll and you'll start to remind yourself of different things you do or don't like.
Yeah.
Or do like specifically. And then like kind of just go off of that and then make like a list. Also go on TikTok of like things to do in London. I'm actually gonna, fuck, this girl done like a really nice video and it was like what I'd do in a weekend if I had a weekend.
Oh, yeah,
did you see that?
Yeah.
And it was like go for like a 2-hour walk on Friday and then like get like wine and cheese and just chill. And there's so many ways that you can indulge in just being on your own and like, just like not fantasize, like make everything aesthetical as well. That's fun. But yeah, I hope that helps.
It will be fine. Okay, next question. Someone asked, is flirting cheating? We had quite a heated conversation about it, but my personal opinion is it's all down to the boundaries that you've set. Yeah. I think if you have not set any boundaries and if you've not had a discussion and your partner is, and you found out your partner's like flirting with people, I would personally have an issue with that because I'm like, why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. However, if you've had a conversation, like for example, me and my partner, we're not overtly flirty people. When you know when people are like, I'm just a flirty person, yeah. That's not us. Mm-hmm. So if I saw him flirting with someone, I wouldn't be that like, I wouldn't get up in arms about it, same way he wouldn't about me, because it's just like, most of the time we're probably doing it to get further in like works things or something like that. Like I know, like it's, I think it all comes down to the security in your relationship and the boundaries that you set.
Yeah, it's definitely to do with the boundaries you set. Me and my relationship, no.
No.
Like I think it's also because like we're not flirty people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So if like, but then I couldn't be with someone that was flirty because it would piss me the fuck off. Because what is the reason? Mm. And also I feel like people like really use like being flirty as a real personality trait when it's just about...
And a scapegoat.
Yeah, and a scapegoat. When that's not the case. Like you don't need to be flirty, yeah. You just want to be flirty. And also like people that are flirty, I feel like it's for personal gain as well. Like if I'm flirting with someone, it's for a fucking reason, as you just said. You know what I mean? Like if I'm flirty, like if I was single and I was out at a bar and I'm flirting with someone... Maybe I want to drink.
Yeah, that's
maybe
what I
want to talk to you. Do you know what I mean?
My relationship personally has enough trust foundation built up that I knew if I saw my partner flirting with someone, I wouldn't feel a type of way like, why the fuck? I mean, obviously, very, very, like, there could be an instance where it might be, but I would assume like that. But if you're questioning why is your partner flirting and that like, you're feeling some type of way about it, then maybe that's like an actual issue with the trust.
Do you not think that there's other ways that you can do things without flirting though?
Yeah, 100%. But it is also an option.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like I also like, I don't like, I'm not opposed to like a flirt, like a drunk flirt on a night out. No, because I know it's not going anywhere.
Oh.
Not like overly, God, maybe that makes it sound really bad. Not like, I'm not like talking about like as in like...
Maybe because you see like way hotter guys out, I don't.
But maybe like I mean in like a sense of like, if someone was like, would you want a drink? I would flirt back.
Oh.
Like I wouldn't be like, oh no. But like if someone was trying to move to me in a club, I'd be like, oh my God, go away. Like that's a different situation. Yeah. I mean like if I'm like bored.
See, for me, like in my relationship, now I have a man, I'm just like more secured with like not having to talk to people. So it's like a good thing.
Yeah, yeah,
if that makes sense. Because before I used to lie and I'm such a shit liar. So I'd be like, oh, I've got a boyfriend. Unless like it was for a drink, then I'll be like, okay, cool, you can buy me a drink. But then they'll linger around and all of that shit. But now I'm just like, yeah, I've got a boyfriend. Where is he? Behind me. But you know what I mean, like
also I wouldn't flirt with people on a night out that my boyfriend isn't on. I think that's disrespectful.
Wait,
personally.
Say that again.
I wouldn't flirt with people on a night out if he wasn't there.
Yeah,
because I would hate for someone to misconstrue it and get back and like all that kind of thing. Yeah. If I'm like, it's like almost like in front of him, like almost like in a funny way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would oh my God, because people can run with shit.
Oh listen, that's why I'm just like,
I mean, the probably the best option is to just say blackout no, because then there's no gray area.
And people be testing as well, because my boyfriend's telling me that like a couple of girls were testing at some festival, and yeah, it's interesting. People are nasty, so be careful.
It is time for a quick break, but don't go anywhere as we've got plenty more of your dilemmas to get through, such as how to set boundaries with your ex, and we'll give you a step-by-step tutorial on how to make a good Hinge profile.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.co.uk/comedyadfree. That's amazon.co.uk/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to your Agony Aunts. The next question, is it your son?
You can go. Oh,
thank you. So, someone said, I want to go out more on nights out, but my boyfriend doesn't want me to. What do I do?
I know it's so much easier to say, but I need more context. I need a reason, like, is this
are you flirty?
A persistent thing? Is this like, oh, I asked to go out and like we had a date night, which I'm assuming it's not, because that wouldn't be an issue. Like this, the dilemma sounds like, I'm going to take it as face value, your boyfriend has an issue with you going out and that's controlling behavior. Yeah. And either he needs to go to therapy and work on that, or you need to leave him.
Facts. If someone is with you, like, for example, as I said, me and my boyfriend are very opposite people. He's not an outside type of guy. I'm more of an inside. I mean,
outside.
I'm She's more outside. Of an outside. Obviously, like, listen, there's when you get into a relationship, like, you cut down on going out so much.
Yeah, I had a question to ask you as well. Sorry, this is so irrelevant, but I'm really glad I remembered it. Okay. It's really not important to this at all. Everyone's going to be so pissed off that I've cut you off to ask you this. Are you going to do Sober January again this year? You mean, that was Sober January 2 years ago.
I can't.
That feels ages. So not 2 years ago.
No, I can't, because I'm gonna be in Ghana.
You have stuff and on. I was gonna do it if you were gonna do it. Anyway, carrying on.
Why don't we do February?
Valentine's Day. Yeah. I don't need to be dropped with that. Maybe we do. Okay. Anyway, right. Carrying on. Sorry.
Actually, I was gonna do November.
Yeah, November's not late.
Yeah, interesting.
Who's outside in November? But then maybe that's why I need to be outside, because I'm going to be bored shitless.
Yeah, that's true. All right, cool.
But in terms of dealing with not going out.
So when you're like two different opposite people, the whole point of getting in a relationship is because you find attraction in that person. You shouldn't want to get into a relationship to try and change anyone, because A, that is fucking effort. And B, if you are down for that task, you're probably controlling as fuck.
Yeah.
So that's really my answer. Like, I think he's controlling. If you want to go out and there is no reason for you to not
be out.
Yeah. Like...
Yeah, then, if I'm taking it at face value, which is all the information that we have, then you either need to tell him, well, you need to have a conversation and either be like, look, like, I want to go out. If that's not your type of thing, that's fine, but you need to let me go out. Like, you should have enough trust in our relationship that you are fine with me going out. And if you don't, then either, like, we need to work on it together and, like, I can help you work on it, or this isn't the relationship for me. But, like, I'm not going to be in a relationship where I don't go out, because that's something I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Mic drop.
Yeah. Do you think, like, I don't know how to ask this question yet, but, like, do you think there's, like, an essence of something to why she suddenly maybe wants to start going out?
And this is just me, like, assuming the most sort of stereotypical situation of this sort of dilemma is he... And I'm sorry, actually, this is really bad. I'm probably not giving you information you want to hear, but he himself is a bit promiscuous, and he then knows that he's like that when he's out, so he's like, well, I'm not even gonna risk my girl doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Or he has a history of that, a past of that himself, maybe not any in this specific relationship, but
no. But I meant why she wants to start going out, though.
Because it's fun, because every single one of her friends are.
Yeah, but then, like, if you're already doing that, then did he make you stop? Do you know what I mean? And that's a red flag as well.
I don't fucking know this relationship, but I can imagine that you get in a relationship with someone who doesn't like going out that much. But you know, when you're first in a relationship with someone, you want to spend all your time with them. So you're like fine to just do whatever they want to do. And then once you're like settled in it and you get it, you're like, oh, like, I'm going to have more time. Like, I don't get, there are some people who get in a type of way when their friends get in a relationship, and I will give you 6 months of grace. I will give you 6 months of, like, not giving me that much
that
time
friend,
and attention.
Like, actually, because I never understood it, because I was never in a relationship. Like, I always used to say, like, and then I remember my friend Alex was just like to me, this is what happens when people get into a relationship. Like, they go ghost for a bit. And, like, I didn't get to do that, but it was obviously the long distance thing. But that's just what happens. And I get that 100%.
I will
now.
Always give my friends some grace. If after like 6 months to a year they're still not back, then I will just kind of assume that the friendship's kind of faded out.
Yeah.
And unless they're like a close friends, I'm not gonna have an issue with it.
Mm.
But I just, like, I think it's very normal and very human nature to get like that obsessive for a few months. So I would imagine she probably got with him.
Mm-hmm.
She maybe even was like, oh, do you want to go for drinks tonight? And he's like, oh, that's not really my thing. Yeah. So she's like, oh, if it's not his thing, then I'm happy to just chill with him. And now she's gotten to the point where it's like, oh, I kind of missed that. I want to go out again.
This is why it's very, I don't know how you've kind of got into your relationship as well, but honestly, taking the, I'm such a contradict myself all the time. But like, honestly, taking the time to get to know your partner, because obviously where you do have that real like tight honeymoon phase for a bit, it's so intense. And like, if you don't take the time to like really suss and like be real with yourself as well and be like, is this something that I want to continue with? Because yes, he might not like going out, but once you start following patterns that he starts doing as well, then he's going to be like, well, I don't want you going out, or yeah. I don't want, like, why are you going out now all of a sudden when you've always wanted to go out? You've just kind of like,
but also he shouldn't have an issue with
the of course. Yeah.
Next dilemma. How do you deal with insecurities within yourself within a relationship?
Complain.
What are you talking about? Insecurities as in like insecurities? You said within yourself, but like, is it about yourself? Like, you're insecure about yourself in the relationship? Or do you mean like you have insecurities about the relationship?
Should we do both?
Yeah. So first of all, if you feel insecure about yourself.
If you can feel insecure about yourself, just complain about it every day and then you'll feel better because your boyfriend will be like, no, it's fine. Like, you're actually really beautiful. And then you'll probably get over it. But then obviously if it is a big... There's like, when you have insecurities about yourself, like, there's no right like thing. Because you know, like, with like, I was like, because I kind of want to get a boob job now. And I said to my boyfriend, like, oh, like, I really want to get a boob job. And he was like... Oh, like, I'll put money towards that. I was like, but like, this wasn't the first time. When I said it to him, like, this was like the fourth time I said it to him. And I was like, that's not what I want to hear. I want to hear you say,
you're perfect.
Yeah, you're perfect. Which is what he said to me every other time. But like, obviously, like, I was just asking, like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. But anyways, insecurities within yourself, within the relationship, is kind of hard to just...
When it comes to people having insecurities about themselves physically, obviously this, I'm just speaking on a physical, aesthetical level, it's kind of, you got to lump it or leave it. Like, as much as like, I do agree with self-love and everybody should be confident in the skin that they are in, it's not realistic for everyone. Not. So you either have to get to terms with it. And I know that people can be like, look at yourself in the mirror naked and say, I love you. That might work for some people. That shit don't work for me. Like, I cannot stand in a mirror. Yeah, right? Like, I can't do
thinking
that.
Thinking the boogeyman's going to come.
I'm like a lot more of a realism person. I whenever I have an insecurity about myself aesthetically, outwardly, I either have to just like swallow the pill and like with time get over it. Mm-hmm. Or, for example, if it's like my weight, go to the gym. Mm-hmm. If it's like, I don't know, my hair color, diet, like,
yeah.
Or like, it's one of those things where it's like, no one else is going to, as much as like people can hype you up, that's like, it's like, what's that saying? Like a plaster over a, it's like a plaster over like a big cut, but I don't know what the saying actually is. Like, it's like
amputation,
temporary fix. Like, it's like, it's going to make you feel good in that moment, but it's not going to get rid of that.
And also, if your partner should be making you feel better about it. Yeah. And also like with insecurities, I don't know. I've never been a super insecure person because I don't have the attention span to like feel a way about something for a long period of time. But whenever I am, I feel like it's like, it feels so intense at first, but then like, I just kind of get over it, you know? As you said, like you either lump it or leave it. Yeah, so.
But in terms of insecurities about your actual relationship within yourself, you kind of have to speak about it and it's really uncomfortable, but like that's, if you're insecure.
Can you give me an example of that?
Like, oh, I'm really insecure about like our relationship. Like maybe it's trust issues I don't feel secure in the relationship, literally only way to do that is to speak. Like there's no other option.
It might be such an awkward conversation, but yeah, I think the main like theme in all of the questions that we're answering about relationship is honestly like communication. If there's so many times where like so many arguments like on my end could like be in, not just with my boyfriend, just in general, it's just literally communication. And as soon as you communicate that, like it's all calm, because either way, as humans, we start acting like a certain way. So once you start acting like that, that's when it's either going to blur out or someone's going to pick up on it. And you always want to kind of be the first one to like hit the nail on the head really within the relationship and just be like, this is how I'm feeling, blah, 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 blah.
Also, as like, I literally hate speaking about stuff. Like it's so daunting.
Yeah,
like, it's so
I hate.
But from I know it's so much easier said than done because I don't do this shit. But the quicker that you speak about it, the quicker that it's resolved and the prevention of it becoming even bigger to the point of no return.
Yeah, facts. That is so, so true. Next dilemma. coming from a tall girl, is it weird to date a smaller man? If you like dating, if you'd want to date, it's actually, to be fair, everyone that I've probably dated for my current boyfriend was probably around my height.
It's there, like, is a tall man epidemic. Like, yeah, really, there is not that many tall men.
And especially if you're a tall girl.
Yes. Yeah. Like, because
then you have to factor in the heels and all of that shit as well.
Mm. I think that people put a lot of stigma on tall. I can understand, like, the mental block, but if you fancy short men, then there is no issue. Also, no offense, most of the time, short men have the better build. Like, oh. They're better proportioned small men, like, aesthetically.
Unpopular opinion, yeah. But shorter men are definitely way more good looking than taller men.
Yes, I agree with that.
Because they're all their like pengness and all their like beauty is just so compact.
Yeah.
Like, when you're tall, you can just see when it started to get lost.
Yeah, and sometimes it's almost like an intimidating good looking. Like, yeah. A short man good looking is like a...
Oh, you're my level.
Yeah.
Like, I can see your eyes to eye, not me looking up like a fucking...
Like, if it's like 6'5", big, like, I'm just a bit like, oh my God, like,
yikes.
Whereas, like, when you're short, so live your... Short girl hot summer.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, short man hot summer.
Yeah, short man.
I mean, or hot
summer.
Winter, whatever the fuck we're in nowadays. Fucking 27 degrees in October, so it's basically still summer.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's an issue.
No, I don't think there's an issue, and I don't think anyone else should think there's an issue. But if everyone else thinks there is an issue, then that's not your issue.
And it clearly, if you are even answering the question, you find short men attractive, so the only reason that's holding you back is the way that society is hyped it up to be an issue.
Yeah.
But it actually isn't that deep at all.
Not at all.
One over the age of like 18 actually cares.
Yeah, facts.
So, like, if your friends are still doing that, tell them to fucking mature.
Yeah.
How to set boundaries with an ex that you know you'll end up marrying. And we had to read this a few times to get it. Like,
this is an interesting one.
I think what it is she's in a relationship. She was in a relationship with this guy. She really liked him, but she maybe missed being single, or she wanted some just time for herself before she commits for ages.
Mm-hmm.
So she's broken up with him, but she's still in contact, and she knows she's going to get back together, but she wants to keep a boundary for like a year or two. Or however long before she gets back together to officially marry him, which is, I think we should normalize that. Like, that's like,
yeah, it makes so much sense.
Yeah, and also, obviously, if my partner came to me and said that, I would be distraught, and I would be a lot like, I mean, I would probably be like, this is such a lame fucking excuse. But if I knew that they meant it genuinely, obviously there's no way that you can know, but say in a hypothetical situation, I knew they meant it genuinely, I'd actually almost be flattered that, like, I was like, oh, you actually, like...
I was going to be the end game.
Yeah, like, I'm going to be, like, you're going to come back, like, do you know what I mean? Anyway, that's not the question.
Am I, like, a fucking dickhead?
Why?
Because I'm thinking, oh, yeah, you go fuck around for a couple of years and then, you know where home is.
Yeah, I would think the same.
No, because I think the same, but at the same time, I'm like, no.
But this is what I mean. This is in a hypothetical, like...
Please don't ever let that happen to me,
God. This is in, like, a hypothetical dreamland where you know at peace. If this was actual in this realistic London, I would be, like, constant stress, constant...
Yes, trust
this
me.
Is just, like, in a, like, a hypothetical dreamland.
Yeah.
But in terms of setting boundaries... Girl is all like literally. I mean, I'm assuming you're the one who's wanting to set the boundaries, and you're the one who keeps breaking them because, like, maybe you're drunk and going and having sex or something, or like you're speaking too much. It's down to you.
Yeah.
Like, you, the only person who can put. It's not like you can put a physical like wall between you guys. You have to just.
And also, it's not really fair if you're breaking boundaries, because I can't imagine how fucking shit it would feel if my boyfriend said that to me, and then like he just kept coming back to just have sex with me because he knows
fuck with my head
so bad. I don't know how I feel about the situation anymore, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, not that you asked my opinion on it, but obviously, like, if it's working for both of you, the thing is, right, is that if you have both come to an agreement and it's working for both of you, then I think it's for both of you to set boundaries. It's not just for you to set boundaries, because then everything is in your hands. And then at the same time, why I'm like, setting the boundaries, you should know which ones that you want to set already, and he should know which ones. But obviously, I feel like that's why it's still like 75-25, because...
And especially when alcohol's involved. Like, I could imagine if this was me in that situation, I'd be really good at the boundaries sober. As soon as I'm drunk on a night out, I'd be like, where are you? Let me learn. Yeah. Let's join up. Like,
I know. But I could not deal with seeing that person out.
Yeah. The only way that you can do it is like being harsh on yourself. And like, maybe that is... deleting his number and muting him or blocking.
See, that's how many, like, how deep do you want to go? Like, yeah. Do you actually want it to, like, be
But then
cut
it's like,
off?
Are you? Do you want to marry him yeah. if you're deleting numbers and not wanting contact?
I don't know. It's not making sense to me anymore. Sorry.
Basically, what I think you should do, if you really are like, I just want a year to myself to work on myself, and then I'm ready to be in a relationship again.
Yeah, you have to be super.
You need
adult
to
about
first of all
it.
Communicate that and be like, I'm not ignoring you. I can't try and do this working on myself while I'm still in communication with you. So I'm gonna have to delete your number and block you and everything. But like, this isn't anything. You've not done anything wrong. You need to communicate that first before you do mm-hmm. this all. Then I would delete the number, but give his number to a friend of mine so it's not lost forever.
Hi.
But like, it's not like, when I'm healed a bit more and ready mm-hmm. to go back, I know that it's not gone forever. I don't have to go like fucking like writing letters. Mm-hmm. But I delete off my phone, unfollow it on everything, and then try from there. And if you still can't, then maybe just fucking get back together because yeah. you clearly don't want the break that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Do you think your style has changed since having a significant other? I feel like that I feel more confident in wearing like things because like it's so weird because my boyfriend is he dresses very well and he dresses like in good pieces. Like he doesn't wear anything too like too flashy or anything like that. He just dresses in good pieces. So, and I feel like I can wear things that are very jumbled up and then he will have like, be like, yeah, I wear that belt. And then sometimes I'm like, oh shit, like I have more confidence yeah. to wear things. Cause if someone who is more of a minimalist can see the vision and is like, okay, that's like a good thing. Then I feel like it must be, well, in my yeah. opinion, as someone that I respect the way he dresses as well a lot. And I respect his opinion. So yeah, I do feel like it hasn't drastically changed. Cause I've always been someone that I would never want to let someone ever like change the way that I dress. But, yeah.
I think mine is, it has changed. It's gotten better. And like, I feel like we have now, especially because we're two males. Mm-hmm. That's a key difference to like a heterosexual relationship mm-hmm. where it's like, he wouldn't wear like a skirt or a dress. Mm-hmm. So it's very much easier for us to have yeah. an overlap in fashion. Where we do, but I like how we still have, like, he's a bit more like, preppy is the wrong word, but like, twee maybe
and I'm
a bit more like baggy but we still have a middle ground and I think but also it's not necessarily so much and I don't know if this question's asking like is it a bad thing that my partner changed my style or something. I don't think it's necessarily as much as like a change my style, but like it's more come from a place of he had a lot more interest in fashion and high fashion and all that, and obviously as you do in a relationship, I you know, care about my mm-hmm. partner's interests and hobbies and that stuff. So I've like listened more and I've learned loads more from that because he was more interested in me. And now I have, as a domino effect, become more interested in it as well. Yeah. So it's not necessarily like I've been sat down and been like, don't wear this, wear that, wear that. But like, I've learned more, which is then...
Clothes? Oh, nice.
It's actually lit as fuck when you go on holiday because we have two check-in cases, but like it's just like
I'm wearing my boyfriend's trousers
mumble
right now.
Jumble two check-in cases. It's unreal. Yeah.
But also my style has changed because I have way more tracksuits, way more baggy clothes, and I fucking love it. Like the trousers that I'm wearing right now, I actually bought these for him, but besides the point.
Final question, dilemma, whatever you want to call it. Someone is basically emailed him being like, how do I hinge?
Yeah.
What's the best
I need a tutorial.
Etiquette? And get down on Hinge. Mm-hmm. So Isla's going to get you down on the dating part and the vetting part. I'm going to get you down on the profile part. Okay, so for your profile, you know, you have your six pictures. First picture cannot be a serious picture, in my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. It can't be a selfie. It can't be like a very posed picture. It needs to be a candid picture, which you look good in. You need to have like two or three selfie serious pictures, which takes you up to four. I don't necessarily... I'm not objected, I don't know if that's the right word, to a picture where you're not even in. But it has to have a reason, like it's got to be a funny picture.
Yeah.
Or like something like that. Or for example, like a picture of like you asleep. Mm. Something like someone's taking a picture of you like drunk asleep.
Oh, okay.
Like that kind of vibe, like I'm not too serious.
Yeah.
And then the final one, it's always good to put in a picture of you out. My hobby is drinking.
So that a pint.
But like, say if you're a beach girl,
A picture or holiday.
A holiday picture is always good because it shows that you travel. But that would be in what your three serious picks.
Okay.
this one needs to be with like other friends, and it needs to go towards the bottom so people don't get confused of which one you are. Okay. Like it needs to go like fourth. Mm-hmm. You at a bar with your friends, or as I said, if you're a beach girl, say you love surfboarding, like you and your surfer chicks mm-hmm. at the beach. Like I that would make me, for example, if I saw on someone's profile a picture of them out, I'd be like, they're my type of person, I'm going to get on with them. Yeah. So I'm more likely to match with them.
Yeah, but then if they're out at like, you know, slugging lettuce, you can tell by the interior, yeah. you know?
I should, if you're on my radar and on my vibe, I should be able to clock what venue mm-hmm. you're at from the picture.
Facts.
And then in terms of meetings.
In terms of meeting, fuck, I don't know, because I've only ever been on one Hinge date.
And it was a success, so tell yeah. you. Tell
well, mine was, once I knew that I wanted to meet up with him, I was making it happen. He tells everyone all the time that I double texted him. Yeah, I fucking did, because I wanted to see you, bitch. It was nice because in my situation, I think in this situation, it's good. Oh, it really depends like what, where you are, what you're doing. In terms of a holiday, it's good to meet out with like friends at first.
Public place.
Like,
do not meet in a car, a hotel.
None of that shit.
You need to meet where there's like other civilization, whether that's a bar, a restaurant, a park.
Facts. It would be good to like on holiday and stuff. It's nice. Say if you are doing like a holiday dating thing, their group of friends are out, your group of friends are out. That was good. What we done. That was really fun. And
especially if you're in a, like a group, for example, like all girls and they're all boys.
Yeah.
Like I can imagine if it was like a mixed trip, the boys might be like, oh, why do I want to hang out with like all these boys that I don't fucking know?
But then again, like, I think that's really telling as well.
Yeah.
Because if you can't do that, then you're definitely not my type of guy.
No, I meant like, well, I mean, maybe it's just the guy friends I have. But say if I was on holiday and I was with three girls and three guys, I just know the guys that I know would be like, I'm not fucking coming on your fucking date. Like,
yeah, but I just wouldn't tell them.
Oh, you would conveniently be at the same bar.
Oh, shit. Fancy seeing you here.
Wait, dude. Do I recognize you from Hinge?
it's nice to like go on a group thing and then you can kind of like just get drunk and, you know, you're getting drunk also like in a safe setting as well because like you're with friends or whatever. I think that if someone, like we've all been aired on like fucking Hinge and stuff and you've tried to hold on to it and if it's just not working, then just fucking let it go.
And I know it sounds literally insane, but trust me, you'd rather be fucking safe or sorry. Okay, maybe like a FaceTime is a bit intense before a first date, but at least get their Instagram or something so you 100%. Can know they're a real person. I know that I wouldn't do this single, so it's like literally like I'm giving advice that I wouldn't take myself, but the best etiquette you could do is to have a FaceTime call with them before you meet. I know it's not realistic and it's a cringe for a lot of people, but that is the safest way to sort of, because there are some fucked up scary people in this world.
Instagram's great as well, like you can really
you can tell if they're real. I feel like especially people nowadays like our age, like we're quite noveled up on what's a fake profile or not. It's always great also to see if you have mutuals with someone before you go, because I would be say for example I found a profile and I know like my girl follows him, I'm like oh, do you know him, like what's he like, she could vet me out before to even before wasting my time.
See what girls they follow as well, if they follow like Bunch or like,
that's a good one. See if the girls that he follows are like your like your style, your vibe, or if it's just a bunch of like people who look nothing like you.
Facts.
And then it's like, what's the point here?
I think it's so like definitely like to do with like the face value of a profile. I think Lewis has got it spot on though, like just like stuff that really shows. I don't know what mine were, but I know what his were. One of his was like on a boat when he was in like Santorini. Another one was him at a festival and he was wearing like these trainers, so I was like, okay, cool. And then like
if you've got a good style, make sure there's a head to toe good outfit pick in there as well.
He was wearing like these patterns and then my friend Alex was like, yeah, he's got the patterns on, like yeah, he's cool. And then like another one was like,
but that is literally so true. I could be swayed over a simple thing like a trainer a bar
and especially when like someone is, for him, like he's from a country where I don't know what the people are like there at all. So if we have a common ground of like fashion, like great. And then I think another one was him and like, I don't know if you know what budgie smugglers are.
Yeah,
he had like passion fruit ones on.
Oh my god, I would have the other way for that.
I physically
full body cringe whenever a man wears one of those.
I don't know why.
And don't, please, I know this is a really, really niche thing. What?
Boys.
No. I mean, I also disagree with voice. Actually, you know what? I would find a voice note fucking funny if it was like a recording of something else, like a piss take voice note. If you're going to sit there and be like, what's your Death Row meal? And you're going to be like, my Death Row meal. Like, and the voice delete Hinge. But I would find it, like, I've seen a Hinge profile before where it's like, someone's like recorded like a meme as like the voice note. I still think it's a bit cringe and a bit.
But it's, if you want to do it, then it's funny.
But what I was going to say was, don't try and flex. And I mean, like, don't try, like, if you have, like, and I don't know if this is just too niche and everyone's going to be like, shut the fuck up, but like, a Getty image picture, don't put that on there. You know when people post, like, think like they're the shit because they have like a picture on Getty Images with the banner? Or like, don't try and post like a picture where you're barely in it, but like, a cool person's in it. Or like, you're in a really cool place. Or like, say you work in fashion, like, don't post a picture where it's like, you backstage at a fashion show, but you're barely in. Obviously, if it's mainly like, if it's, but don't like just try and put in a picture because you think you look cool in it, because that's fucking cringe.
Totally agree. But that is it for the questions. Those are great questions, guys.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Pop Off. If people want to find you, Isla, where can they find you?
You can find me on TikTok at Isla and Instagram and YouTube at Isla Lobar.
And you can find me on TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Looking for Lawyers. You can also follow Pop Off on Instagram and TikTok at Pop Off Podcast. If you have any dilemmas for the future, make sure you drop us a DM and we will be sure to read them out on our next special episode. Remember to rate the show 5 stars. The production team is Katie Baxter and Temi Adebayo, and we will see you next week for a brand new episode.
Ciao.
Bye.
Pop Off is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.co.uk/comedyadfree. That's amazon.co.uk/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.